Thank you, children, for those songs. Well, good morning to you all. It's good to be here. I do admit this is a little uncomfortable for me. I'm used to a mic that I can walk around with. And trust the Lord in it. I don't like being stuck behind a pulpit. Kind of makes me relax, I think, a little bit to walk around. But I did smile when the brothers in the back told me that the mic's not available today. It's at the school. And I did smile because of my German friends at work that we sometimes talk to. They're Pentecostal Germans. They're in many ways more liberal than we are. But we talked some once about preaching, and they said they do not allow their preachers to walk around. They think it's very liberal. It's showy, and they're uncomfortable with. They want their preachers behind the pulpit. So I guess that's where God has me today. So let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word that you have given us as a light and a lamp to our feet. I do pray your blessing upon this next hour here, Father, as I'm going to sharing what you laid on my heart. I do pray you will help me to bring it forth in clarity and truth. I do pray, Father, for your anointing upon the words that I will speak for it, Father. Do bless this time, bless the hearers. Be amongst us and in some small way build up your church through this, God. So we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Topic I'd like to speak about this morning is something that your 2 or 3 year olds probably sometimes struggle with. Your children can struggle with. Your young people can struggle with. Us as older people can struggle with. It's something that we can be tempted with a lot and often. And it can be one of the worst sins that could be amongst us that would wreck relationships and break trust. And it's a sobering topic in some way to look at. The Bible has an incredible amount to say about it. I had to chuck material that I've been looking at. And I'm not preaching it this morning because I see a big problem amongst us. But I do realize that in one way or another, we have all been tempted by this. We have all probably fallen to this or have fallen into it. You know, in around the 1600s, there was a saying that was termed, or so I don't know who first had it. It's a farming saying. It says, nip it at the bud. It basically means get it very early. It's if you have a garden, you have buds that want to bloom, that shouldn't bloom, you get them very, very early. And it's something that it does us well as we go through life to recognize it very early in our life. Because it can, of the danger that it can bring and wrecking relationships and breaking trust. So it does us well to recognize it very, very early. And the topic I'd like to talk about this morning is jealousy and envy. Jealousy and envy. There is a verse in Proverbs 27, a couple of verses I'd like to read. Verse 27:3 says, "A stone is heavy and sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both." Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Or some translations would say jealousy. Who is able to stand before jealousy or envy? So it's talking here about wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, which these are bad enough of themselves. But who is able to stand before envy? So why is envy so bad? I'd like to read the definitions and the Webster Dictionary. I try to find out the difference between jealousy and envy. They're so similar, they pretty much overlap, but they're slightly different. I'll just read the two definitions that Webster has for jealousy and then for envy. Jealousy is basically suspicious. That's the first word that would be in the Webster Dictionary. Jealousy and then suspicious. Apprehensive of rivalship. Uneasy through fear that another has withdrawn or may withdraw from one of the effects of a person he loves. Suspicious that we do not enjoy the affection or respect of others, or that another is more loved and respected than ourselves. So a person who is jealous will always be suspicious. Let's say I have a good friend called Jim. I don't think there's a Jim here. So let's say I have a good friend called Jim. And I really want to be close to Jim. He's my best friend. And I really treasure that relationship. And then along comes a different brother who slowly gets into Jim's life. And they start getting close and they start liking each other. And I'm starting getting suspicious about the whole thing. And my judgment is clouded and I start become jealous of that brother who's starting to become friends with Jim. So I'm suspicious and apprehensive of rivalship. And I'm uneasy. And everything, the way I view the whole situation, I'm suspicious about it. And everything, is it positive or negative, everything, that's the way I view it. I have become jealous. And we'll talk about more of that later. So envy. What does envy mean? Webster would say this: to feel uneasy, mortification or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. To repine at another's prosperity, to fret or grieve oneself at the real or supposed superiority of another, and to hate him on that account. So it almost looks like envy, just like anger is bad, but wrath is worse, because it's anger can be seething and then wrath comes out. It almost looks like jealousy can be the start and it can come towards envy, and envy can turn literally into hate. Whoever envies another confesses his superiority, or at least in his mind. To grudge, to withhold maliciously. Envy springs from pride and ambition, mortified that someone else has obtained what we want. So envy, if you're envious of somebody, you're mortified that he has obtained of something that you really, really want. So he's got it, you don't have it, you can't attain it, so you become jealous and you become envy. That's the word, that's what jealousy and envy would mean according to the Webster Dictionary. Envy is more like this. This person has something I want, and I envy him because of it. I envy him because of what he has, or has attained, or has become. Now, it can fall into different categories. It can be riches, property, money. It can be a good job. It can be a reputation that is better than mine. It can be a position that I desire to have. It can be a godly character that he has developed and grown in, and we desperately want it, and we know we didn't. It can be because people in love and respect him or her more than they do myself. So it can fall into many, many, many different categories for different people. And jealousy is interesting. I mean, it can be used in a positive sense regarding God. And Exodus 20, I'd like to read a verse just to bring that out. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. Just to bring out that side, Exodus 23 and 5. 3 and 5 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them, for the Lord, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God." Notice that God is jealous when someone gives to another something that rightly belongs to him. True worship only belongs to God. So God is jealous over us in a good sense. The Bible talks about desiring spiritual gifts. And it's the same Greek word, if you punch it in your computer, it's the same Greek word for being jealous. Desire, that word desire there, desire spiritual gifts. And the word, and covet to prophesy, you could be jealous. That same word. "I am jealous over you with godly jealousy," Paul said when he wrote to the church. But note this, it never affects others or had ill will towards them. So if we're told in the Bible to covet, to prophesy, to desire spiritual gifts, and Paul said, "I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy," it never affected others negatively, or it never had ill will towards others in those contexts. Just like to bring that out. I went through the Old Testament and all the stories of where jealousy was. I'd just like to spend some time on some of them. My sword searcher just had them all click, 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 and I was astounded how many of them there were. And I mentioned it to my wife on the way up to church. I said it was interesting. If I look at all like Joseph and David and Daniel and Paul and Jesus, and I look at all those lives of godly men, and I look at the people who were against those men, every single story that I read, there was one common thread all the way through. I guess by now you know what that is. It was jealousy. Every single one, there was jealousy there. Every single one. I'd like to read in Genesis 4, 3 to 8. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. Shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now, there's a clear what his problem was there. He was jealous. He was jealous of what his brother, that God looked at that offering there and was pleased with it and not with his own. And if you look at Joseph's brothers, I read a story yesterday. They were jealous because of a number of things. One was that the coat was given to him. One was because of the father had seemed to have loved them more than the other brothers. Also, that the whole dreams that he had of them bowing down to him. So on and on and on, they were tempted with jealousy, and they gave in to it to the point where they actually wanted to murder him. And God intervened by his sovereign hand, and he landed up in Egypt, but their heart was just as bad as here it was with Cain. Then if we go to 1 Samuel 7 and 8, here's another story. 1 Samuel 18, 7 and 8. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can be more, and what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Now, here was a case. David had something that Saul wanted. And it was, I believe, honor of the people. Saul wanted honor of the people. David got it. Saul didn't, at least to a lesser extent. And then from that time on, Saul eyed David from that day forward. And also, I think the development started there where he was starting to be suspicious and thinking that he might take over the kingdom. And with the whole jealousy thing, suspicion started settling in that everything that David did, he viewed it negatively. If we were turn to Daniel, what was his co-workers? What was their main problem with? What was the main problem there? They were jealous. If we turn into the New Testament and we look at Jesus' life, you know, when they were when Jesus came in front of Pilate, Matthew 27:18 says this: "For he knew that for envy they had delivered him up." Pilate was wise enough to actually notice that he knew that for envy they had delivered him up. So if I look at the Jewish leaders and the Jews there, they were envious of what Jesus had accomplished. They were extremely envious that the people were starting to flock to him and listen to him, and versus them, and they up till then they were the leaders. So again, they're a picture of envy. And if you would look at the life of Paul, the mobs, many times they were riled up in anger. It was because of envy. On and on and on through the Testament, if you look at stories, it was envy, was envy, was envy. So, what about us? What about us? We read those stories. Is that something that we sometimes are tempted with? When I said it starts with the little two-year-olds all the way up, a little two-year-old can be jealous of another two-year-old when he has something that he doesn't have. It can start right there. And as you grow older and you want stuff in life, whatever it might be, we'll talk about some different practical things later, whatever it might be, as you grow older, there's things in our lives that other people have and have attained or have become. If we want them, we have to really watch that we don't become envious. What about us? In Galatians 5:22-26, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let us not envy one another. It can raise havoc regarding relationships. And James 3:13-16. James, in his straight out way of writing, writes it like this. Actually, I'd like to read it in the ESV. I have copied out those verses in the ESV here somewhere. I think it's a little clearer. James 3:13-16. "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his conduct, let him show his works and the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder in every vile practice." Now why? Why, if I struggle with jealousy towards my brother, will the fruit of it be disorder and every vile practice. Why? Why is James making it, I don't know how to say it, so serious? Why is James making it so serious? I think it's because of the fruit that it produces in a church and in relationships. What are signs that we have jealousy or envy? Now, when I talked earlier about getting that early, I think it does us well to look at our lives as we go through life. I'm sure we all have been tempted with it, and I'm sure we all will still be tempted with this as we go through life. What are signs that we have given into that temptation of jealousy or envy? What are some signs that can be in our lives? One would be this: not wanting the other person to rise up. If we have a brother or sister in mind that we don't want them to rise up in certain areas, if we have a person in mind that we don't want that to happen, then there is more than likely and probably 100% sure that there is jealousy or envy there. If there is in any area where God is using you or you want to be used, and you see a brother or sister being used and you want to push them down. Now, jealousy can be very selective. What I would struggle with jealousy might not necessarily be what Jason struggles with jealousy, or Rosa would struggle with jealousy, or different. We all can be tempted with different things. It will be, the devil will tailor it to your desires. And sometimes they're good desires. If there is an area where God is using you, you're starting to teach, you're starting to have openings, or you've become a teacher at the school, or you're a worship leader, or whatever it might be, and God is starting to use you, and you want to be used, and it can be a good desire, but you see a brother or sister starting to also rise up. And then do maybe better than you do. And all of a sudden, you start becoming jealous. And as soon as you become jealous, you become suspicious of that brother or sister. Your mind that they do or say becomes negative. And suspicious sets in. And if it's not in check, eventually envy comes in. You will make efforts. If you make efforts to depreciate others in subtle little ways in your conversation or the things you do, if you try to depreciate others and make others smaller, chances are there is envy there or there's jealousy there. If you speak negatively about him or her with bad intent in mind. And we can sound so spiritually. We can make it look spiritual. If I'm in a living room and I'm having a conversation about a different couple or a different brother, and we discuss, and there's things that we discuss about that certain brother or that certain sister, but I'm throwing in little jabs that make bad light to that other person, and deep down I know, if I check my heart, why I'm doing it. There's actually bad intent to make that other sister or brother just a little lower spiritually. If that is there, then I have jealousy and envy in my heart. If I speak negatively about him or her with bad intent in mind. If I'm mortified that another has obtained what once was a strong, when I'm mortified what another has attained with what I have a strong desire to possess. If there's something that I have a strong desire to possess and another has obtained it, then I am, can be tempted to be jealous. A temptation is there. If you struggle with the person who has what you want. If you struggle with the person who has what you want, then chances are you're struggling with jealousy or envy. And like I said before, that differs from people to people. A difference that differs from person to person. Because you can be envious of riches. You can be envious of a position. You can be envious of a reputation. You could want to be heard, and that's your desire to be heard, and another person is heard, and when you say your opinion, you can be jealous. You could be wanting to be thought of as spiritual, and the other person is thought of as spiritual more than you. You can become jealous. You can want somebody's friendship, and another person has that person's friendship more than you, and you know it. The temptations and all of these things are there. You can become envious. You can become jealous. I think what makes jealousy so serious is this. Jealousy has a target. And that target is many times another person, or most of the time, I should say. That target can be another brother or sister. So I think that's why jealousy can be so dangerous. Jealousy has a target. It has somebody in mind. And this is what happens. People become a rival instead of a friend. People become a rival. They become your rival instead of your friend or your brother and sister in Christ. That's, I think, why it's so sobering and can be so wrecking in relationship. It can be a brother or sister who has been your best friend and you had sweet fellowship. And if jealousy starts setting in and you observe that person and you're jealous, that person becomes a rival instead of your brother and sister in Christ. It can have incredible negative effects. And that's why I said it can be, I think I'm not sure how I said it earlier. It can be one of the worst sins that could be amongst us that could wreck relationships and break trust. If you think of that verse earlier that I talked about, Proverbs 27, where wrath and anger are so bad, but where's that verse? Should look it up. But who can stand against envy? If a brother or a sister is angry at me and he pours his anger out at me, I can take it. And I think we all can somewhat. For sure, a lot easier if somebody is envious at you. And I think the reason is this, and I'm just thinking out loud. Wrath and anger you can see. Envy and jealousy are sometimes subtly hidden. And sometimes they can go on for years. And they, just like gossip, can go on and sow seeds. But that is also can be a lot more, German would say, sichtig, or it quickly would be, can become quickly more exposed. Jealousy and envy can go a long time in my heart, and I can sow little seeds to put a different brother or sister down, on and on and on, and you might completely miss it. You might completely miss it. If I'm subtle enough, if I do it subtly enough, you might completely miss it. I think that's why it's so much more dangerous than anger and wrath. I think because it can be hidden and it can be subtle. And I think we have to, if I have that temptation, if something comes in my life across where somebody has something that he has attained that I want, and I'm tempted with that, I need to catch it very early. It cannot take root. It cannot take root in my life. I'd like to just throw that out as regarding leadership, because I've thought about that lately. Regarding leadership, leaders should want to make more leaders. That should be a heart of a leader. A leader should desire that he makes and disciples people, that more leaders rise up. That should be a heart of a leader. If I have jealousy in my heart, that's not going to work. As soon as somebody rises up, a different brother rises up, I will try to squash him down. That envy and jealousy is bad enough to have amongst us, but it for sure can't be in leadership. Can't be. I think it's even worse. I think it's even worse. So let us guard ourselves. Let us guard ourselves if we're ever tempted with that. I came across a short story and interesting place in a commentary, an Adams Clark commentary on the Bible regarding Proverbs 27:4. And it was written, I just printed it out and I'll just read it the way it is. He didn't market two cousins, I'm going to market two cousins because I think these two people are very closely related. And then I like to add two cousins of my own that are kind of the opposite side of the fence. So this is what Adam Clark wrote regarding Proverbs 27:4 of who is able to stand before envy. Now, I don't know who rabbins are. Does somebody know who rabbins are? I tried to even Google it. I couldn't come up with it. The rabbins have a curious story on this subject. That's how it opens up. Ben, do you know who rabbins are? I have no idea. Anyway, that's the way he wrote it. I Googled it. I think that word didn't really make sense. The rabbins have a curious story on this subject. And it has been formed by the moderns into a fable. There were two persons, one covetous and the other envious, to whom a certain person promised to grant whatever they should ask. Now, the reason I said I think they're cousins is I think actually if you dig a little deep, covetous and envy are very, 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 very closely related. They're cousins. There were two persons, one covetous and one envious, to whom a certain person promised to grant whatever they should ask. but double to him who should ask last. So here's a person who granted covetous and envious this, whatever you're going to ask for, I'm going to grant it to you. But there's a but there. But double to him who should ask last. So who's going to go first now? Whatever you ask, I'm going to give the second guy double. The covetous man would not ask first because he wished to get the double portion. And the envious man would not make the first request because he could not bear the thoughts of thus benefiting his neighbor. However, at last he, envious, requested that one of his eyes be taken out. That's as far as he went. At last he requested that one of his eyes should be taken out in order that his neighbor might lose both. It's kind of funny, but it's very sobering, isn't it? That's as far as envy will go. That's as far as envy will go. Now, I wrote my own story. I didn't write it down. I didn't have time. There were two persons, two closely connected cousins. They were called Love and Humility. So there's two cousins. They're called Love and Humility. They were granted a wish. But there was a but there. And it was this: but double to him who would ask last. So here's Love and Humility. They were granted the same wish, but double to him who would ask last. Now, what did they ask? Help me out. I seriously ran out of time this morning, so I didn't think this through. What do you think Love would have asked, and what do you think Humility would have asked? Here's your chance to preach. I could also see them struggling of not wanting, and Humility would have said, I don't want to really be first. I'll have my brother. Let him go first. And Humility, I could, in Love, the same way, I esteem him higher than myself, let him go first. But and yet, if I go first, then it's double portion to him. That's the way it should be. Whatever my heart's desire is in life, I should desire double portion for my brother and sister. That's the way it should be. And Corinthians, it says, love what? Envieth not. Love envieth not. And Philippians 2, 1 to 8, I'd like to read how it should be. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equally with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I'd like to close with the ESV, and I'd like to just go on with the verses that I talked about before. I'll read everything, but I'll keep going. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works and the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And listen to how it closes then, the chapter. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I'd like to read that again. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I'll just close with that.